When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today,
I don't know. I've been having waves of sheer serenity as of late.
How do you get there?
I don't know. It just comes, and I just think, oh my God,
really?
Yeah.
You always have serenity?
No. Always filled my head. I think it's because I'm weeding a lot, I'm doing a lot of weeding.
Literally?
Yes, out in the garden, pulling weeds and.
You're serious?
Oh yeah, it's very therapeutic.
I mean, metaphorically, sure, but like literally weeding.
It's hard work. It's definitely hard work, but it's fantastic.
Odd.
Yeah.
I gotta say, like I was watching Mad Men. I think I told you about this. And there's this scene where he's having an affair, and the woman that he's having an affair with has a cross on her neck. And he's kind of, Don Draper, this main character, he's kind of taking shots at her about the cross. He's like, what do you do? Do you like pray when I leave? And she goes, I do. And he's like, for what? And she goes, for you. And he goes, for me to come back? And she goes, no, for you to have peace. And in that moment, I felt so much like Don Draper. Like, I don't think there's ever been a time in my life where I was at peace. I can't even imagine what that would feel like.
Just really?
I can't imagine what it would feel like to just be at peace. To not be tortured with something going on in the world, fixing the world, changing the world, changing myself, trying to be better, trying to do more. Like, it's good to be ambitious, but at what point can you just, you know what I mean?
I do, but I'm, to be honest, I'm really surprised you've never felt, I mean,
it gets worse with age too. That's what's so odd. I told my shrink, like, I was like, I'm 39 and I might be having a midlife crisis. I really, and it's funny because I don't feel 39. I don't feel halfway into the grave, but I am.
Oh my God.
But no, really, think about that.
Is that the truth. Is that what you're thinking about these
days? I think about this stuff all the time. But for some reason, like, at 39, I told my shrink, I'm like, what happens now? Like, I just get older. And, like, watch people die. And it's just bizarre. I don't know why my head is in that space, but it's always. And then I look at my kids and I'm like, okay, no. This is, like, new connections. My mom has always told me that, yes, people will die and bad things will happen and losses will occur. But, you know, life is about making new connections. And, you know, I have my kids and I'm invested in their youth and their health and their future. And that's bright and positive. But there is something about having kids that makes you feel like a National Geographic documentary. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't.
Like the mother octopus, like, gives everything to the baby, little octopi. And then after she gives birth to them and they kind of like leave their little octopi nest, she dies.
She dies?
She does die. Yeah, I saw
a
whole thing. I cried
story.
Like crazy. I know. There's something about kids, though, man. Like, they really put it in perspective. It's not about you anymore. And you're looking at the next generation. And I don't know, dude. I want to find peace. You be the expert. Tell me how to find peace. I can't find it. Tell me.
Okay. You know what it is? It's not in what you think it is.
What does
and
that
that's,
mean?
And you have to mourn the loss of, it means what I have learned, and mostly lately, is what I thought would make me happy is not.
Hmm.
And for me to let go of that and mourn it.
Interesting.
Has brought me peace. It's like, it's okay, Janice.
Interesting.
And so, not that I know what I'm to do, not that I know.
I think part of my problem is I have all these things I want to achieve.
Sure.
And having not achieved them, I'm like, I'm 39. I have to get here, here, and here. Do you know what I mean?
I do. But don't forget, I've got 15 years on you, right? I'm 15.
Susie Orman tells me she has peace. She's happy every day.
See, and she's, how old is she?
She's older than you. I think she's in her 60s.
See, and I don't think... You're still in rev gear. I am now in cruise gear. It's a difference. It's a difference with age. I don't. Maybe you're not going to find it till you're older. I don't know. I mean, I know you want it now, but maybe.
I think part of it is I'm in rev gear, but I'm like, I told my shrink, I'm like, I'm 39. Like, it's getting harder. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get tired. Like, I didn't used to get tired.
Sure.
I bet
you do.
You know what I mean? Like, I used to be able to go harder, to go longer, to go, like, in every way, personally, professionally, physically, and it's just, it takes its toll on me. But it could also be that as the years go on, I've taken on more. So it's not like I have just me to take care of. I also have me and the dogs and the bird and the horses and the kids and Heidi and... my entire office and, you know, just, and I think all this pressure. So as I've gotten older, it's gotten harder, but there's more to support. I, you know, do you remember just being like, Jake, I don't even remember what it would be like to be your age. And
I was
just going to say,
he's like, I know, and enjoy it
because you, as life goes on, you start to take on all of this responsibility and carry the weight of like a partner, kids, you know, your parents start to age. And you're dealing with that, as you would know, Janice. But I look down the future and I'm like, what am I going to do when my mom, I have to then, you know, she's not my mom anymore. Like, the roles reverse.
Certainly.
We're not there yet. But I look down the future. I'm like, how am I going to handle that? Like, my mom is, there's always somebody older there. There's always, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, dude. I wonder, and I look at Heidi and. She's not tortured like me. I'm tortured. Really, there's something wrong with me.
I was gonna ask.
A tortured soul. I swear to God.
Some of the things you're saying, like, yeah, those are your responsibilities, but you just listed off a ton of things that you shouldn't be solely responsible for, but what makes you feel responsible for every single thing?
I don't know, honey. That's a great question. I think it's just the way I grew up. I always felt like, you know, my dad was just a nut job. And he abandoned his kids after me, and so I took care of them, probably because I wished that, you know, somebody had saved me when I was their age. And you're right, that could be part of it, absolutely. My shrink is like, you're not omniscient, like, you're not Gaia, you're not able to change or save the world, but it's everything. Like, we were in Mexico, and we went on this boat, and we went snorkeling, and we got back, and on the dock, right, in the marina, in Cabo San Lucas, there was a booth with a baby lion cub in a glass cage. And they were claiming to have run a sanctuary, and tourists could take pictures with this baby lion cub, and the money supposedly went to some sanctuary. And I was like, this is going to F with me now, not only for the rest of our trip, but now I'm home. And I'm like, should I call PETA? Like, I know the guy runs it. You know, like, I don't, and they're so overextended. But it's just like, I can't just see that and keep going.
No.
It eats a hole in my soul. And a normal person has the ability to, like, defend against that. There's something wrong with me.
I don't know.
I'm broken.
I am. I don't think the normal, when you say the normal person, I think if I saw that, are you kidding? If Jake saw that?
But would you be able to move on?
No, I think about it all the time.
I think about it all the time.
I'm sure you do.
It's been a week, and I think about it. I'm like,
because don't
oh
forget,
my God.
Don't forget what my shrink, remember? Okay, this is, I'll go back to my yeah. shrink. Remember when I tried to save the cow?
Yeah.
And you told, I'm seriously.
The cow.
And
the
you
cow.
Said, you're trying to save, and my shrink, remember my shrink yeah. said, you're trying to save yourself.
I know.
And I totally, it went, oh my God. And then you said it, and I went,
know.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So you see, we
project ourselves
into
yeah.
that.
So obviously there's like this tortured part of me, but other people are just better at sort of kind of
true
building an emotional defense. I don't know. I want to find peace. I look at Heidi and she's a peaceful person. She's happy, you know, enough with the world. Like, life doesn't torture. I don't watch the news. I can't read the paper because I just can't deal with it.
But, Julian, look at the city you live in. There's a big difference
yeah.
between living in a city like Los Angeles. I mean, everybody's fighting for something, and they know that once their face goes, they're ruined, or once
right.
they do a
yeah,
bad
that is
movie,
very
they're
LA.
Ruined.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're always like... You're always kind of just hanging on this edge of ruin, it feels like.
That's how
here.
I, yeah, that is how LA feels all the time.
Yes. Yeah, so
hanging on the edge of ruin. You're absolutely right.
So one bad move, it's like one bad show or one bad review.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
It could be the culture you're living in, too.
That's true. That's interesting. Maybe. Because there's that. And then there's also just like, you know, just horrible things that occur in the world. And I have to, yeah. I literally have to put my head in the sand or I won't, I will go into such a deep, dark space mm-hmm. that I have to just be like, no, that's not happening. Or like, I don't, you know, I don't want to know. Like, horrible things will happen and people will try to tell me. And like, unless it's fixable, don't share it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
With all the horrible things that happen, there's almost always somebody working against it or somebody that's
right.
helped it. And there's always, you know, these good things that have come out of these horrible stories.
You're right, Jake.
So maybe you should, you know, you should do a little research on, let's just say there's something terrible going on in a different country.
I know.
Look up who's helping that and, you know, see that there are people and that it's not completely helpless.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's true. And again, and I once had this conversation with my mom when I was having a darker day. And she's like, you know, honey, look around you. I think we talked about this once before on the show. She's like, drive on the freeway. And as much as you think you want to kill someone driving on the freeway here, try to appreciate how many hundreds of thousands of people are on that freeway and how many of us are having to cooperate to, like, get from A to B on the road together, to, like, follow the rules, fall in sync, cooperate together to have, you know, there's something like 13 million people in LA. And yes, there are car accidents, but more often than not, there aren't. She's like, you don't see, you know, you're not looking at the cooperation. You're not looking at the goodness in the world and the love in the world. And, you know, I started to become almost agoraphobic for a little while because I just couldn't hear more pain in the world. The tour effed me up a little bit, I think. Because it's like, we did an audition for Loser, and all the contestants are in the room, right? And we've changed things up this season because I was like, I feel like I'm the one who's responsible for trying to help these people in an absurd scenario, which is The Biggest Loser, right? You could go home in a week. You get voted off the frickin' show. It's on an absurd time frame and an absurd environment. And I'm the one that has to try to break through to them. And producers and network execs are casting this. And while I appreciate they know who makes good television, I also need to be able to help that person mm-hmm. with what I have to offer and in the environment I'm given. So I bitched and screamed after last season, and they said, all right, fine. And they let me and Bob and Dolvet interview these guys. We've interviewed 41 people, and 15 will be chosen. And I'm sitting in the room, and this one got molested, and that one got molested, and this one's wife died of a brain tumor, and this one's father died when he was 10 years old of a massive coronary. And I, by the time that day was over, went home, didn't speak at all.
Yeah.
Thank God the kids were in bed and slept for 14 hours. It just, and that's what the tour did to me. It's like seeing the pain. I have got to learn, and I've always told myself this, you've got to learn how to be grounded. You've got to learn how to kind of like, how to help, but not like the lifeguard that goes out to get somebody, but you got to know how not to drown.
Right.
And it's something I've worked on my entire life, and I'm clearly not there yet. And it's like, you know, you came in and you're like, I've had these amazing moments of serenity and I'm just so envious of you. And it's like, I'm supposed to help people get to that place, but it's something that I struggle with constantly, constantly. And I think that's what makes me is I'm on this, like, I have to fix everything, change everything. I think going into this next season, I'm like, oh my God. And, you know, and I used to yell at the producers because I was like, you give me... It's always me and the Bad News Bears, right? It's always me and, like, the most broken contestants. And then we always get slaughtered, and I always have to, like, aggressively motivate them. And, you know, Bob will have, like, Dolvet will have the ex, you know, NFL player. And,
right.
And so, of course, this time I'm like, I want the widower. And my executive producer looked at me and she goes, when you have all of the most broken contestants, you have no one to blame but you. When you lose weigh-in after weigh-in after weigh-in, you chose all these people. And I do. It's where I go. It's yeah. obviously, and you're right, Jake. It's like I do need, in order to maintain my sanity and be a better mom and better at my job, I've got to really start refocusing more and looking at and searching out and making an effort to see all the good in the world. Because it is where you put your attention. It is where you, you know, where you put what you put your focus on. All right. There's some takeaway in there, isn't there? Or did I just take people on a narcissistic rabbit hole?
No.
There's a lot of takeaway.
I have a little segment for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's because of your foot problem.
My hoof and mouth disease.
Yeah.
Oh, my foot problem. Yeah, and you know what? We also got an email about the same foot problem.
Yeah. Plantar fasciitis.
Yes.
Anybody out there who struggles with pain in the arch of your foot.
Or the heel, too, because it comes from the heel.
Oh, man, and it can be brutal. I've known people that have had it. It is so painful. And a lot of things can go wrong with our feet, actually. I got to tell you, it's like, especially when you're working out often, it can get exacerbated. So if you have something like plantar fasciitis or calluses or corns or, you know, tennis toe, when you lose the toenail on the toe and
bunions.
Oh, my gosh. Or a heel spur or all that stuff. You really, I got to say, you've got to be mindful of taking care of your feet when you're working out. Because if you mess up your foot, you're donezo. I mean, you can always get on the bike or you can get in the pool, but it's just such a bummer. So I pulled some tips for you, Jay.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The first one is obvious. Invest in a good pair of shoes.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, I tried because I really tried to get – I tried a couple different things because another thing that I get, and I got it – so funny because Bob had it. and it's called the Morton's neuroma. And it's
I've
in your foot.
Heard
yeah.
Of that. Ugh.
And it's when you get like a pinched nerve in between the metatarsals of your foot, right? And I get it like right between my third and fourth toe on my right foot. And it comes from because my foot's really wide. Whenever I try to wear heels, it gets caused because it pinches your foot. So it started actually from when I was on the doctor's because of the heels. I'm wearing those heels all day long. And
interesting.
So Bob always, he's like, I like these because he likes those CrossFit shoes or something, that barefoot shoes or whatever. And I tried it. Did not work for me. It made it 10 times worse.
You need a stability
yeah,
shoe.
Yeah,
right?
I tried it because I really wanted to keep an open mind. And it just, at the end of the day, get yourself a good workout shoe, an athletic shoe with cushioning. And, you know, they try to say, oh, well, I love the way anybody with a new health or fitness diet trend harkens back to prehistoric times, like paleo. Oh, all right. Well, just so you know, when people were paleolithic, there also wasn't hormones or chemical preservatives and crap in the food, just to be clear. But so, oh, you know, we were not supposed to wear shoes thousands of years ago. Well, you know what? We've evolved wearing shoes.
We are. Yeah, we're bought. It's good. Did you see that thing on the internet where they say what we're going to look like in 20,000 years, our heads?
No. Is it going to be huge? Big heads?
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's what we're going to look like.
I don't think we're going to make it 20,000 years personally.
But you're absolutely right. When we were tearing brontosauruses apart with our teeth back then, our bodies
were different.
We are changing.
You evolve.
Exactly.
And our feet have not evolved to not wear shoes, unfortunately. So please invest in a good pair of shoes and stay away from the trends, man. Like, I'm sorry, the finger toe shoes and the whatever. I hope to God you've got amazing. If you do it, you better really adapt your body gradually over time. There's nothing wrong with just a good pair of shoes.
I know.
I'm sorry. I've worn good shoes to work out for years, and I never had problems until I didn't. So, good shoes. And you want to make sure that there's enough room to wiggle your toes. And you don't want your heel to slip out of the back when you're walking. Plus, your feet swell when you're training, so you want to buy your shoes about a half a size bigger. We've said that before. You also need to know when to replace your shoes.
True. That's a good point, because they may still look good, but they're crap.
The shock absorption is gone. So especially if you're a runner, you got to replace those shoes somewhere between 250 to 500 miles. And you're going to need a new pair of shoes every 3 to 5 months if you're working out regularly.
Yes.
Janice pulled up this really creepy photo. It's on Forbes.
So this is 100,000.
Why are their eyes so big?
This is 100,000 years.
Because that's what's going to happen to our bodies. That's what
our eyes get really large.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre?
Why are our eyes getting so big?
Who knows? Maybe because our feet hurt so damn much.
Interesting.
It's like, shame my feet. Isn't it bizarre? That's what's going to happen.
And our head's going to get that much bigger?
Our big, big foreheads.
Why?
I don't know. It just the way
I'm
we're evolving.
Yeah,
out.
Tell me what the logic is on that while I continue my segment. Obviously, socks. Moisture-wicking socks, because the moisture in your socks can cause blisters. So we want moisture-wicking socks. And if you get blisters, don't pick at them. Let them be.
Yeah,
don't pop it. Yeah. Don't mess with it. Wash it well and keep it clean, because you can get a bad infection. Bad, bad, bad. And if you've got a shoe that's giving you a blister, get a new pair of shoes. I tried a shoe recently, and it had this weird tongue on it that wrapped around the arch of my foot. Mm-hmm. And it like rubbed on the arch of my foot because my foot's really wide. And I was like, Heidi can wear it because her foot's more narrow. But I was like, this doesn't work for me. No.
Is that why you are barefoot a lot?
I mean, I wear flip-flops all the time.
Yeah.
Because my foot is so wide. Yeah. And it's like I have a little ape foot. Monkey foot. It's unbelievable. I'm 2 feet tall with a foot like a freaking gorilla. It's unbelievable. God. And, all right, now calluses and corns. So what these are basically layers of compacted dead skin. And usually you get them on the soles of your feet. Corns can appear on your toes. And it's from pressure. It's from friction of skin rubbing against the shoe. So use moleskin and apply padding to the area where you've got calluses or corns.
Right.
That's going to help. And what I do regularly is remove the calluses. I go get pedicures and I remove them.
Yeah.
And take them off in the shower so they don't become impacted areas of dead skin. So stay on top of it. Toenails, trim them straight across.
Yeah, you're not supposed to cut the edges, apparently, because then you get the ingrown toenails.
Yeah. Bad, bad, bad. And make sure that they're trimmed enough. They're not too long or you get tennis toe. Or the toenail smashes up against the front of the shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And you can lose the nail. It's not cute at all. My friend was training for a marathon and lost her toenail.
Oh.
Love you anyway, Ash, even though you're creepy. Now that you lost your shoe, your toe.
You're creepy. And
yeah, it is the full. I was like, girl, really? Ugh. It's like little alien foot. So, ask about shoe modifications.
Mm-hmm.
So some people need help aligning their foot and their shoe. You can get orthotics, you can get arch supports, you can get heel cups, you can get toe inserts. So if you have foot problems or you're feeling pain in your shoe, check with your podiatrist because they can help you fit the shoe and modify it so it works better for your foot.
And I've been getting laser treatment on my plantar fasciitis.
Oh, how's that helping?
Great. But I'm also wearing a splint at night to keep my foot in this position.
In flexion.
And I just went, no way is that going to work. No. And you know what? I'll be damned if ever since I started wearing that foot splint at night,
it
helps a lot. And he's also I'm going to walk on the computer thing soon and to get orthotics because I need to get orthotics.
Yep.
And what he said, and I've always fought orthotics because we've seen, remember the old style? They were like bricks. They were like, it was like a hunk of plastic.
They're not like that now, though.
They aren't. And
no.
That's what he said. He said they've come so far with orthotics. So anyway, just having this kind of injury and it takes what he said, which was good. He said it isn't something that will come back. Like, if you take care of it, like, it's not one. I kept on saying, oh, is this going to be one of these things I'm going to have for the rest of my life? And he said, no, plantar fasciitis, you can heal it, but it takes a long time to heal.
Yeah. And did he talk to you about deep tissue massage?
Yes. And he started doing that.
Yeah, myofascial release. When I owned a sports medicine facility, and it's like they would dig in there, man, and break it up, and it hurts like a you know what.
Yeah.
And ice. Roll your foot on an ice, a frozen bottle.
You maybe
freeze
do
a bottle,
that on
water too, bottle, or? And roll your foot on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, so
you feel
but
good
foot
about
injuries,
that?
I do,
that
I do feel
you.
Good just because it's so debilitating.
I
a
know,
foot injury is so debilitating.
Yeah,
you're stuck.
I hear you.
Oh God, I'm exhausted.
All right. Well, that was for you.
Thanking you.
I'm sure everybody was bored, but freaking talk about feet.
Did it say, Jake, why are we going to have the big eyes?
No, it doesn't say. It just says that our faces get bigger, our skin gets darker, and our hair gets thicker to cover our bigger heads for heat loss or something.
I wouldn't mind thicker hair.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Skin gets darker, but with sun protection.
But it also said that by that time, 100,000 years, you know, we were going to be able to genetically modify ourselves however we really want to look.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So
I would like for my ass to not have cellulite. 100,000 years from now, no cellulite. Wouldn't that be neat? Oh my God, how awesome!
Yeah, just having
I'm so
a baby.
So jealous.
Be normal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Choose your traits.
I would choose no cellulite.
You know what?
And tall. I'd like to be tall.
I think you need to do some acceptance in how you are.
Oh, I accept it, but
just
if
fine.
It was fixable, I'd fix it tomorrow.
No, I don't know what I'd do to mine. My body. Oh, never mind. You know what
remain old. Craggy.
I'm not old and craggy. I'm pretty spry.
We
what are you talking about? Your foot's busted up.
Okay, my foot's busted up, but it's healing.
Busted its knee up?
And I busted the knee up last
bad.
Year.
Yeah,
that's right. I busted the knee up last year.
Yeah, it's just falling to pieces. You genetically modify them. Don't pretend.
I don't want them big thyroid eyes, though.
No, so, I agree. The bolt. Yeah, no, I know. The eyes and the thing,
I don't want the big eyes.
Well, that's okay.
We had this yard sale a few days ago, I thought of Janice. Old lady, she buys all these books, right? And I go, can I help you find anything else? And she looks at me and she goes, more time would be nice, son. And I just didn't know what to say.
I love that you thought of Janice, though.
Yeah, well, because you're talking about Janice being the old hen here.
Yeah, old hen.
I think, aren't we to finish this segment?
Oh, I think we're done.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh,
segment where you got mad at me about the sock hop?
I got mad at you because you were wanting me to do something I didn't want to do.
Mm-mm.
And I was uncomfortable.
No, you said, I'm going to a sock hop. And I said, no, you won't go. And you said, yes, I will. Did you go?
I believe I said.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
Didn't you, Jay?
I remember I got mad at you in the segment.
Because
as I listened to it, I went, oh, man, I got mad at Mama.
Because I was trying to help you realize your intimacy issues and move through it. And you said, I'm a sock hop. And I was like, a sock hop? You're going to a sock hop? And a sock hop. Yes, I am. And then I was like, you're not going to go to a sock hop. And you're like,
well,
I was a sock hop, Janice.
I didn't go.
Nope. What a shocker.
No, it wasn't my fault. The day started out great, and then I got kind of a call from a family member that we've done a segment about before, who kind of just feels like he's after my, you know.
Soul.
And so I thought, you know what, I gotta change my mood. So I went out to the garden and I started weeding.
The weeding again.
Mm-hmm. And I was weeding and feeling good. And because it's light up in the north of here, it's mm-hmm. light to like quarter after 10:30. So you lose track of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and I looked at the time and it was like 9:00. And I went, oh, to hell with it. I'm happy. I'm just going to hang out here in the pea patch with the dogs. But if I really dug down to it, I did go on the line and I looked at kind of where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a restaurant, the sock hop. And I need, if I'm going to go out, I need darkness. I need dark places because I'm shy. And I also, because I don't drink anymore, I don't have that kind of, I hate to say it, but drinking kind of gave me a certain amount of, I hate to say this, but it true, gave me a certain amount of kind of wacky confidence to go out there and just like, hey, how are you? You want to dance? Come on, let's dance. Woo, you know, and not worry about it. Now, for me to dance, it's just like, you know, like a hockey player. It's just like, stiff Sally. I don't have that
can-can rhythm.
I lost my... Yeah, I mean, I know that's not the way I dance, but that's what it feels
Janice,
like.
No one goes to a sock hop. I tried to tell you this. And
no,
I'm going to go. Sock hop.
No, I know I got mad at you because you wanted
you to not die alone. Yes, that was my goal.
I'm not going to die alone. It's all cool. Yeah, I didn't go to the sock hop, but I will go to something else. There'll be another event, I'm sure. In the Vancouver area at some point.
Mm-hmm. Line dancing party.
I do love line dancing. I love line dancing. And I'm good at that. And you see, then I feel good about dancing mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you don't have to, you have to follow something. It's constructed.
Okay.
You know, the boot, like the slap leather. One. See, if we had a little bit of Clint Black right now, I could really show you some stuff. You'd go, oh my God, look at that. Look at that old gal move.
Okay.
Oh, damn it. Damn it.
Are you pull a groin or something?
No, I laughed too hard. Shoot. Oh, God, I hate that. Damn it. Can we take a break? Oh, it happens. Oh, damn it. I'm going to have to stop at Target on the way. I won't be able to get in the plane with Target and buy a 3-pack of Fruit of the Loops. Anyway, okay. What was the question again? There was no question.
No.
This is not even a segment. This was just, you're mad at me because I didn't go to the sock hop.
No, I'm proving my point that I was right once again, that you were not ever going to go to the sock hop. I am.
No, I probably, if I really got truthful with you, no. But I did buy the ticket. I did buy the ticket. It was a $20 ticket.
Okay.
$20.
Okay. So you're also irresponsible with your money, is what you're saying.
No, I just figured it went to the fund to help buy maybe some snacks.
Wow.
We need sound effects.
That wasn't good enough for you. Dennis's
wheeze. That wheeze is good.
Okay. Right. What's the point of this in this conversation? Except boring people. We're boring people.
No. I always have to get an "I told you so" in there.
Is that your takeaway for our friends listening?
No, I'm not actually giving them takeaway. What I'm doing is letting them know that I'm always right.
Oh, that's what this point is. So when I label the segment, when I put the segment
Jillian's
up
always right.
And I send it to the iTunes people and say, oh, this segment's called Jillian's Always Right.
Jillian's Always Right.
All righty then. There's it. I guess now it's time for some musical interlude, and then we'll get to the next segment.
All right.
That was the Jillian's Always Right segment.
Okay, everybody, giveaway time. So our new sponsor, Audible.com, is giving away a free audiobook and a 30-day trial to Audible.com.
Very cool.
Yeah, I know it is. So I saw Gatsby recently.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's awesome. And I reread the book.
Haven't read the book.
Well, see?
Well, I'm...
Not only are you a dumb person, but...
No, don't be mean.
I'm just going to tell my listeners that I used my free download on Gatsby because it's a great work of literature and smart people read those.
Okay.
But you don't have to.
No.
So for all of my listeners, I suggest Gatsby. But you can get any book you want, and they carry titles across the board. In health and wellness, business, classics, fiction, history, romance, mysteries, thrillers, sci-fi, fantasy, self-development. Janice, you need one in self-development.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a book called Lean In. I hear it's good. Look into it. Okay. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise to get your free book and free trial membership.
And how do you spell that, Jillian?
That's www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. EXERCISE.
Very cool. Yeah. We are back, and Carl would like to have a word with you.
Oh, wow, Janice.
Yes.
With you.
Woo!
Hi, Carl. What's going on?
Hi, Jillian. Well, I'm calling from Quebec, in fact.
Ah.
Yeah, up north. And I have a little accent because French is actually my first language, so.
Ooh, very sexy, Carl.
Nice.
Say
like
something
that.
French. Say something French for us.
Je suis un grand fan de Jillian Michaels.
I don't know what you said, but that's hot.
I said I'm a big fan of Jillian Michaels.
Even hotter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well,
how can we help?
It's okay. I would like to talk to you about the fact that I was overweight up until college.
Okay.
And ended up morbidly obese at the beginning of my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2010, I was 34 at the time, a father of two, and I decided to change my life to become a better role model for my kids.
Wow.
I ended up losing 100 pounds. I ran a half marathon, a full one, a triathlon.
Wow.
I got certified as a personal trainer. I launched initiatives to get people moving on the web and in my community, and I had the chance to participate in two great TV projects up here concerning obesity and weight loss.
That's great.
Yeah, and I actually just quit the job of the last 15 years to fully work as a trainer, coach, motivational speaker, and work on TV projects.
Okay.
But I have to admit that I have days when I still feel like I'm an imposter.
What does that even mean, like you're an imposter?
I was wondering if, since we had a lot of similarities between my story and yours, when did you stop, like, doubting yourself toward your work? And especially, when did you stop doubting yourself and your relationship towards food?
Okay. Well, all right. So first, tell me what in particular happens that makes you feel like an imposter.
Well, I don't know. Since I'm helping people to get control on their life, from time to time, I still have episodes where I feel like I don't have the control over my own life. So I still have doubt about how I'm dealing with food. I still have urges from time to time about huge sugary stuff, or you know. So
would you think ever that that just goes away? That would make you not human. That would make you less than you, not less than human. That would make you superhuman.
Yeah.
Honey, I mean, first of all, when you look at a lot of people who go into their various professions, often the things that they've struggled with in life and overcome is what has given them the passion to do what they do. So whether it's a therapist who had a difficult upbringing, or a trainer who struggled with weight, and when you look at Susie Orman, here was a woman that lost everything financially, and out of that financial destruction and having been a victim of bad advice, ended up learning everything that she could about money and investments, and became, you know, the money guru in America, if not, I don't know, in her international status. But so the people who go into these types of fields are very often people who have struggled with these issues, and that's what made them become an expert. So if you don't really struggle with something, you're never really compelled to learn about it. So for me, I learned about weight loss and fitness and nutrition because I was a fat kid. So it was always a quest to lose weight and get more fit and look better and feel more confident. And, you know, and then, of course, I got older and it became about, you know, the quality of my life and achieving goals and, you know, overcoming demons and this and that. But that is what makes you, A, relatable, and B, what has prompted you to learn everything that there is to know. So, sure, I mean, of course there are days of backslides and cravings and urges, and what I do when I feel that way is I just practice balance. So I realize that perfect doesn't exist. It literally does not exist. And when I want something, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to have an entire pint of ice cream, but I'll allow myself to have 300 calories worth. And when I do, I'll, you know, instead of having like the second helping, we had Indian food last night. I didn't have a second helping of Indian food. Instead, I had 300 calories worth of ice cream. And I'm like, you know, I just work it in there. I find balance for it. So
I just think that it's because actually my weight loss went pretty fast, even though I had decided that I had plenty of time because I wanted to actually learn what was a portion and just eat well. So seriously, I had given myself like 6 years, but I actually lost 100 pounds in 10 months.
Wow.
And yeah.
That's great.
And I think that, you know, now I'm helping people, and some of those people have to actually lose the emotional weight before they can actually get rid of the physical weight.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think I was one of those lucky guy that just trained hard and ate better and actually ended up losing a lot of weight pretty easily, I would say. And now
say
I've been working.
I mean, I would say that you did the right things and your body cooperated, but eating right and working out is never easy.
No, but I mean, I think it's just because now for the last year and a half, I've been working more on the emotional weight and actually, you know, just making the right choice, but emotionally, just not towards just food and training.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I had like big discussions with my mom, with my dad, stuff like that. And, and I think I'm kind of just, I don't know. I think I'm a bit overwhelmed these days about, just, you know, even though I'm still thinking about when I'll be 40, I'll be like just perfect. I think I'm just looking for, a break or something like that, or it just made
sweetie,
that I
there's
actually,
no
just
such thing as perfect. And this one self-help guru, he goes by the name Ram Dass, even though I can't for the friggin' life of me remember what his actual name was.
Okay.
And he was like this big guru who worked with Timothy Leary, and he once said, if you think you're evolved, go home for the weekend. Like, go home to your parents' house for the weekend. And yeah. even though I know, like, all there is to know about how to overcome, well, not all there is to know, but I know a lot about understanding myself and working through my issues and tackling my demons, I got a letter from my little sister, and I really thought that I had gotten to a good place where I don't speak to my dad because he's destructive. But yeah. I thought that I had. I really was like, I'm at peace. Like, I wish him well. I forgive him.
Yeah.
You know, I hope everything goes okay in his life. Like, he hasn't become a better human being, so, like, I can't have him in my life. But I got to this place where I wasn't ruled by my anger. So I get this letter from my little sister the other day, who she's 20 years old, and my dad had done something particularly awful to her. And I... just it brought me right back to that place, and I'm just gonna be truthful, of wishing he was dead. And in the letter, she's like, why won't he just die already? And I gotta tell you, I've never said it around my brother or sister, because I didn't, you know, they're much younger than me. My brother's 23, yeah. my sister's 20, and it's like, but I used to talk about it, like, with my shrink, with Heidi, and I was like, I just wish he would die, because then it's like, we could just move on. He's like a wrecking ball. And, yeah. you know, and I like, to wish your father was dead is kind of like a really horrible, horrible feeling. Like, you really feel like you're a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah.
And I got to this place where I was like, he's just damaged. He's just wounded. Poor little wounded bird. Like, and I really thought that I had, like, evolved out of it. And I got that letter from my sister, and right away was like, die, you son of a bitch. Just yeah. die. So, listen to me. My point here is not that I'm homicidal, which clearly I have tendencies, but more to the fact, honey, that it's normal to, like, to have these moments and to have these feelings and to struggle. And the key is to recognize them and get control of them as quickly as possible. I'm not going to show up to my dad's house and shoot him. So, to me, that's winning. It's like, I have those feelings. I feel like yeah. I've backslided, but I'm like, all right, here's what's going on. You know, here's how I'm going to handle it. Here's the most productive way to respond to it. But you have to give yourself permission. You know yeah. what I mean? You've got to give yourself permission to have those feelings and to have those moments and to accept that this is an ongoing struggle. And as you begin to accept it, it will become much easier to manage. I don't judge myself when I eat crap. I don't judge myself when I want to kill my father. I go, oh, here we go again. All right, let me get out the tools in the toolbox and try to get control of this thing. And that's how you do it, babe. And you're not an imposter. You're walking the walk. You're talking the talk from experience.
Yeah. Well, I think that just the fact that just to know actually that you go through that, you also go through that, I think
absolutely.
I think it's going to help me a lot. In fact, I've been thinking about you a lot when I do different stuff, when I train people, but I think that just knowing that we kind of had that actual link will help me a lot. So I would like to thank you. I would like to tell you that for me it was, I mean, really special to be talking to you today. And I would also like to tell you that I'm actually, I pretty much told you all my story, except for the fact that I'm now Subway Canada's Commit to Fit ambassador.
Oh.
And that I'm going to be at the CanFit Pro.
Oh, so excellent!
Yeah, so if you want to come and see me at the Subway Commit to Fit booth, please do. It will be my pleasure to meet you.
Oh, I would love to. I will definitely come say hello.
Cool.
All right,
I'm really happy.
Oh, me too. Have a great day.
Take care, Jillian. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Carl.
Oh, so cute. I'm really happy. Lou says that to me. Mama? Yes, honey. I'm happy. Have you seen her do that?
She's a happy kid.
I'm happy. I'm happy. She's just, oh, it's like, I love when she has moments of happiness, because I know what that feels like, but she just wants me to know. Like, something's going on and it makes her happy. Mama? Yes, sweetie. I'm happy. Girl, I'm really happy. That kid's amazing.
Yep.
She's
she is.
Just, I've she never, is. I've never seen, I wouldn't know any kind of little human that just, Mama? Yes, sweetie. I'm happy. Sweet. And then the baby's like this. He's just like me. He is just like me. He is a terrorist, that kid.
Oh,
he is just
God.
Like me. And she's just like Heidi. happy and the baby's like, I pissed! Just all the time.
Well, Missy?
Yep.
We call it a day.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I have a happy toddler to get home to and a furious one-year-old.
We'll see you next time.
Dissatisfied one-year-old.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.